Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. Those four little books after 1 and 2 Corinthians. Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Follow along as I read from verses 1 through 10. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Let's ask the Lord to be our teacher in these moments together. Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous truths out of thy law. Teach us, instruct us, change us, transform us, so that we would, in a greater way, be reflectors of your character. For your glory we ask this, Lord Jesus. Amen. Years ago, I was talking with a student from India, a Hindu, and I asked him, "What do you think of Christianity?" And he said, "It's a very nice religion." And I wonder sometimes if many of us might have the same reaction. Christianity is a very nice religion, something nice to look at, the way we would look at a beautiful painting, a sunset, whatever, something to admire. And of course, we have been telling the story. We read the story this morning in the early service. We rehearsed the story of the crucifixion on Friday. But for us to simply sit back and admire this is not what our Lord has in mind when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the real question is, what does this resurrection have to do with me and you today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? Indeed, what does it have to do with us for the rest of our lives? It has everything to do with you and me as followers of Jesus Christ in our daily lives, because we are told what it means for us as followers of Christ. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Grammatically, if then means since it is the case, since it is true of you who believe in Jesus Christ, since it is true that you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Christ is risen, and you are risen with him. Therefore, seek those things that are above. The first thing that we are to do is to seek. Just want to focus on that truth right there, because I think it's important and we don't want to hasten past that. This is the necessary outcome of being risen with Christ, a follower of Christ, a child of God, one who was born again by the Spirit of God, is a seeker. This life that we have in Christ, this life of faith, is a life of action. It is a life of pursuit. It is a life of discovery. It is a life of learning. It is a life of growing. It is not passive. It is not something that we simply sit back and admire. It is something that we seek, something that we are growing in. You see, growth is a sign of life. Faith is action. We think of the stories of the men and women of Hebrews 11. Examples to us, not of extraordinary faith, but of what true saving faith looks like. As we read about the various Old Testament characters, many of whom were very flawed in their lives, nevertheless, we see examples of faith and we see action. We see movement. We see growth in their lives. You remember the story of the talents that Jesus told. There were those that had 10 talents, 5 talents, and they went out and they multiplied their talents. There was one who had 1 talent. He had the orthodox Christian faith, and he buried it. It's, after all, something personal, is it not? He did nothing with it. And the master, and of course, the picture there is Christ himself, condemned him for not doing anything with this faith. We are, as those who are risen with Christ, first and foremost, seekers. Action, movement, discovery, learning, growing. Secondly, what are we to seek? We are to seek the things that are above. Well, what are the things that are above? Well, first and foremost, what is above is not, it's not what, but who is above. It is Jesus Christ himself. That is the one that we are to seek. We are told in verse 3, there in our text, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now, Jordan this morning preached to us from Romans 6. And there we learned that those who are baptized into Christ are those who have identified with him in his death and his burial and his resurrection. We are dead and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. He is our identity. He is the one to whom we belong. As followers of Christ, we don't belong to ourselves. We are not autonomous. We are not those who say, "I could make my own way in life. I could do what I want to do the way I think it ought to be done. And I don't care what other people think, but this is what I'm going to do. This is what I feel like doing. And don't tell me any different. After all, this is a free country, is it not?" A Christian is one who belongs to Christ. He is our new identity. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. So seeking those things that are above is first and foremost seeking a person. And seeking those things that are above also means seeking Christ's authority. Set your affection on things above, where I keep getting confused with King James here. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What is this Christ being seated? When we were, Jack and I were at the U.S. Supreme Court in 2001 to hear the case that finally opened the way for us to be meeting here in the school today. It was a rather awesome sight to watch Chief Justice William Rehnquist and all the other justices. They all came from behind the curtain to sit in their seats before us. It's an awesome sight. Court is in session. Session means sitting. When they are sitting, they are ruling, they are governing, they are deciding things that affect your life and mine. Well, there is the ultimate judge. There is Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. He is the one who is exercising authority now. He is governing all things towards a glorious end, towards his coming again. And victories are being won now, even though it looks as if Christians are losing. In fact, as Greg Livingstone reminded us in a letter about a month ago, that these reactions by the Muslim community towards Christians is an indication that people are coming to Christ and other people don't like that. So the kingdom of God is indeed advancing. Christ is ruling. And you and I are to seek not only him as a person, you and I are to seek his authority in our lives. Now, I want to tell you, because I can tell you from personal experience, I was born with a nature that bristles at authority. I don't like anybody telling me what to do. And I need a Savior. The Lord has had to work in my life to break this willfulness within me, to see that this Christian life is more than just asking Jesus into your heart and you get to go to heaven when you die. That's just a small part of it. It's about submitting to his authority in my life, in every part of my life, in my thought life, in my primary relationships, in my relationships with my neighbor on the street. I am to submit to Christ's authority. I am to put him first in my life. And he must be first in your priorities, first in the goals that you set for your life. What does Jesus want me to do? We've made some life-changing decisions, Jeannie and I have made over the years. And I think we can safely say we sought the Lord because we've had a glimpse of what things could have been like had we chose a more comfortable path. In one instance anyway, it would have been not a good situation for us. We need to seek the Lord's leadership in our lives. He must be first in everything, first in our affections. Yes, human love is wonderful, but it doesn't compare with the love that Jesus has for us. It is as wonderful as it is, there's always a limitation. There's always wanting something more. And of course, it can only be met by Jesus Christ. He must be first in our affections that breed a loyalty that dares not sin against the one who loves us. So we are to be seekers. This Christian life is an active thing. It is not a passive thing. We are to seek those things that are above, where Christ is. We are to seek a person. We are to seek his authority. And thirdly, we are to seek to have our minds renewed according to the will of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Wow. Now, wait a minute. I thought we don't want to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. We don't. But there's one thing about biblical spirituality, is that when we do set our minds on things above, the Spirit of God is going to direct us to the things of this earth in terms of living out our relationship with him. He's going to speak to us about how we relate to other people, about how we speak to them. He's going to speak to us about the use of our money. He's going to speak to us about the use of our time. He's going to speak to us about our priorities. When our minds are set on things above, he's going to bring us back down to earth so that we will live a life that reflects the character of Christ before a watching world. But there's also this setting our minds on things above, on things that are of eternal value. I've shared this before, and I will probably see him again this summer. He's a vice president of a Fortune 100 company. And he confided in me one time, and the guy's got a lot of nice toys, I must say. I'd love to have a Nautique ski boat. It's a beautiful boat to water ski behind. Love to have one. He's got one. He's got a really fancy ATV, you know, all-terrain vehicle. I'd like to. That'd be fun to have one of those things. And he said to me once, when we were just kind of an informal discussion, he said, you know, whenever I want something, I get it. And then when I get it, there's a big letdown. Stuff really cannot make us happy. And we pursue happiness by pursuit of materialism, by the pursuit of comfort, by the pursuit of convenience. I guarantee you, it cannot produce the goods. We've got to set our minds on things that are of eternal value. What are things of eternal value? Giving ourselves in serving other people, people that are weak, people that need the Lord, people that need our counsel, people that need our help. That's where the satisfaction comes in giving of our lives. Set your mind on things above. We are to seek by believing the gospel in our daily lives. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears. Now, if some wise guy comes up to you, whom you hardly know, and he should bluntly ask you, without any preliminary discussion, what is your life all about? What are you going to tell him? I hope you're going to tell him or her that my life is Christ. He is our life because our life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, he is our identity. So we believe the gospel. We believe the gospel every day. Our lives are driven and motivated by the gospel, that our oneness with Christ assures us that there's going to be victory over sin this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, until the day we die. That we are assured that we can persevere with Christ because he perseveres with us, because our life is hidden with Christ in God. We spoke about this on Maundy Thursday, about this mystical union that we have with him through his Holy Spirit. And so what is true about us The indicative, if you will, indicative means indicate something that is the case with you, that what is indicative of the Christian, what is the condition of the Christian, is that you are united with Christ. That's the gospel. That's the grace of God in our lives. Now, because you are in Christ, because you belong to Him, because your life is hidden with Christ in God now live that life. Not bite your lip, grit your teeth, buck it up, exercise a little willpower. No, by believing the gospel now, since you are identified with Christ, since you have died with Christ, we are told here in the text, you must put away these things in which you used to live. Anger. I know what uncontrollable anger is about. It's a terrible thing. It's something that God has had to deal with me in my life. Wrath, malice, chip on the shoulder, easily offended, easily hurt, slander, talking about other people, putting other people down either to them or behind their back in order to make yourself look good, and obscene talk, dirty jokes. All of these things, put them away. Why? Because your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the motivation, that's the power, that's the strength to do these things that we are called to do. Do not lie to one another. Goodness, how can a Christian lie? That's putting ourselves in league with the devil or the father of lies. We have been saved from that. That's what salvation is. Salvation from these things. You have put off the old self. When we accepted Christ, we put off the old self. It is this nature with which you and I were born that is a rebel against God, that shakes his fist against God, that says, no, I don't want you. Get away from me. If only if I'm in trouble, then I'll cry out to you. I'll pray to you. But otherwise, I'd rather be left alone. Thank you very much. That is the attitude of a rebel. No, we've put off the old self when we have come to Christ. We have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. When Adam was created, he had perfect, undistorted knowledge of God. Since sin has come into the world, sin has distorted our understanding of God and therefore has caused us to do things that are sinful. Primarily because we have wrong ideas about God. And Jordan spoke to us this morning about the wrong use of God's grace. It's not to be an excuse for sin, but rather the power not to sin. And so we are, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Our minds need to be renewed. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. Now, I really believe that the Apostle Paul used the word mind the way Christ used the word heart. In other words, the control room of your being, that which governs all that you do and say. And we are to be renewed in our minds. We are to be renewed in our hearts in order that we might live aright. We need to be growing in the ability to think along biblical lines and then to act accordingly, according to the will of God, based on the Word of God. Our minds and our hearts need to be oriented toward Christ. When armies go to war in a foreign country, one of their goals is to win the hearts and minds of the people. If they don't have the hearts and minds of the people, most likely a fifth column is going to rise up against them. even if they've won the military victory. Where is your heart and mind? If Christ does not have the inside of you, he does not have you. The resurrection is not just an event to admire and celebrate. It is a reality to be lived in our lives. Christ is risen, and you are risen with him. Therefore, seek those things that are above. We are to be seekers. There's got to be action. Let's get out there and shake it. Seek the things that are above. What's above? Christ is above. In all of his purity, in all of his beauty, the beauty of his holiness, Christ's authority is there. And that is the source of true freedom. And then we are to seek by the renewing of our mind, by learning to think and act biblically, by being teachable, by being accountable. If a newborn baby is not growing, it is either very sick or dead. If we are not growing in our walk with the Lord, we are either very spiritually sick or dead. Don't stay there. Why would we not want to strive to know the one who loves us, the one who has loved us from before the foundation of the world? Why would we not want to know him better? Why would we not want to be preparing ourselves now to live with him forever? Because that's what heaven's going to be, primarily. Yes, Jack is right. There's going to be activity in heaven. There's going to be a resurrected body. There are going to be things to do. But the important thing that we are told about heaven now is who we will be with. We will be with Jesus. That will be the core of our happiness. If that's the case, if that is your goal, to be with Jesus forever, let's be preparing ourselves to live with him now, the resurrected Christ, with our resurrected lives in him. Let's pray. We thank you for the power of the resurrection, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the victory over death, over sin, over the devil. We thank you someday that death will be cast into hell, along with Satan and his cohorts. In the meantime, O Lord, I pray that we would live the glorious reality of that which belongs to your children, the resurrected life in Christ. Help us, we pray, for your glory to be realized in our lives. Amen.